Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United Insider. That's HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. How are we doing this week, Mike?
Oh, we're doing good. Got spring ball started off. Got a lot of things in motion. It's not football season. Somebody said that. I think my kid said that to me this morning. I was like, it's football season all year round, kid. So, yeah, plenty to talk about, plenty going on in State College.
There is plenty going on. Let's start with this, though. You and I and our buddy Chris Buccanani, we did our first event at Pine Grove Hall last Wednesday. Had a couple players with us. I thought it went pretty well. How about your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked it. It was really, first of all, the location, the Pine Grove Hall, if you haven't been out there, check it out. It's really neat compared to all the other places in State College. It's just different. This older kind of two-story building, and you know, it's two levels with one that you can eat upstairs, you can eat downstairs. It's this nice, like, kind of fancy looking bar, and then there's a nice stage with, you know, the best of the best equipment there, which that kind of threw me for a loop when I first went there. I'm like, man, this is like a real studio plus restaurant. So yeah, really cool place. And then we had our first three players there, and I thought they were all really super impressive. Ryan Barker, kicker, Omarion Davis, the transfer from Boston College, safety, and then tight end Cooper Alexander. All three different perspectives, which was really neat. You know, you had a transfer from Boston College, a transfer from Iowa State, and then a returner being Ryan Barker. So all of them, spoke really well. But also, I thought Jim, you and Chris Buccanani are awesome. In that setting with these kids, it's not like like you're pulling teeth out of them. You know, it's just like a nice conversation. At least that's what it felt to me, and that's what kind of makes me even more excited as we keep the show rolling.
You know, as I continue to do these kind of events where we do it with the student athletes, this is obviously with the football players. I've done some with the basketball players, the wrestlers, women's softball, women's basketball. It never fails. I come away so impressed with these young people, Mike, where it's not just, hey, let's put it out there. If you're a Penn State fan, you want your teams to win. You want your Penn State teams to be winners. That's really important to you. You want to root them on to victory. But, you also have some pride in the university itself. And it's amazing to me how good as representatives of the university these young people are. And as you mentioned, they were just tremendous. Ryan Barker, Cooper Alexander, Omarion Davis. We interviewed each one of them one at a time, and you hit it to that Pine Grove Hall. What a perfect environment for this. They have the great stage up there. This very impressive building, you know, the bar. I got to point also out also at the bar, they have some really good beers there.
I mean, it's a pretty cool menu from their draft list to their food menu. It's pretty cool. It's like, it's unique. It's different. Again, it's a different kind of niche. They're local. They grew up here. They raised their families here, their kids. So you got that like community vibe with the owners, which, you know, goes a long way in places like State College. But yeah, it's awesome. It's a really cool spot. I mean, I took my daughter there. My wife came out and she was like blown away because I would try to explain it to her, but it's hard to explain the place. I think you just got to go there.
Yeah, it has just a tremendous vibe to it. And Liz and Steve, they were fantastic. And the entire staff, bartenders, that they took such good care of us. They were fantastic, which means we are looking forward to doing this again, Mike. We're picking out different dates when there's availability there. So this Thursday, what is that? Is that April 3rd? Do I have the date correct?
April 2nd.
I was going to screw up something. That was a guarantee. But April 2nd, it's Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to be doing this again. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait to do it again. We got the one under our belt. The reaction from everybody was just fantastic. It was overwhelming. And like I said, I appreciate the compliment from you, but having my cohort Chris there, the players were so good. It made everything very easy. Looking forward to having some more folks come out this week again. Get a chance to mingle a little bit with the players, talk to us, talk to Mike. And well, how about Mike just also expressing a little bit, this is part of a new HVU Insiders, which you're calling it. How about giving the folks a little bit of a background on that and what you're looking to accomplish with it?
Yeah, so the platform that we're starting, we started about 3 weeks now ago. We're rolling out, you know, certain arms of the platform, but a lot of it is just to talk football recruiting with Penn State and talk and about interaction. All right, what are we looking for in certain recruits? What are the staff looking for? And just that community, that ability to be able to interact with the fans and say, hey, this is what the staff's looking for. These are the players. Like, for example, we had over 100 kids at Huluba yesterday for spring practice. But the reality is we're not truly interested in all 100 kids. Now, you know, we'll talk a little bit down the road on the show, but I'll let the fans know, you know, out of that 100, here's the guys that we should be really paying attention to, right? Things like that. Just having fun on there. There's sweepstakes on there to, you know, win experience with me. I don't know if that's a sweepstake, good or bad, but for the spring game, you go on there and you get points just to sign up. All right. And then those points you can use for sweepstakes entry. So if you're interested and want to hang out with me for the blue white game and an experience to go around Lash, go around the facilities, meet some of the staff, see what it kind of looks like to be a recruit, right? That's kind of cool. I'll take you through kind of what that experience is and all kinds of things. So that's just part of it, but keeping it fun is something that we're really trying to do. So the HVU Insider Show that you're talking about, Jim, that's just another thing that we're able to do off of this platform is have kind of different pods, a radio podcast type show with you and Chris, which is awesome. We're going to be doing something with some other restaurants and some businesses in the local areas, which it's a win-win, right? These guys, I love the fact that these players can get out in front of the community because like you said, like, you know, these guys, you followed Penn State, but you really didn't know Omarion like that until you got to talk to him, right? And Ryan Barker, you know about him, but talking to him and opening up about like the stuff that we've talked about, it's awesome. And then that makes you feel that much closer to that athlete when Ryan Barker hits a game-winning field goal in Beaver Stadium, and you're like, oh, I was there. I was at Pine Grove Hall. I listened to him. He was great. Impressive young man. Makes you root for that kid and collectively Penn State that much more. Even the other day when I was watching practice, you know, we just had that show with Omarion, and I'm like, and I'm looking at Omarion and Coop, and I'm like, oh, man, I just felt like closer to them and more – I felt more invested in like knowing, all right, how's he moving? What's he like? You know, like it's just part of the relationship that this platform can help with the community, the fans. So yeah, it's really neat, and hopefully you know, if you're interested, check it out. And hopefully it's something cool that you'll like.
Yeah, well, a couple things. First of all, the opportunity to hang out with Mike, take advantage of it. I've had that opportunity. I swear, every time you and I hang out, Mike, I have a great time. Occasionally, those times involve having a few beers, too, but that's just goes along with it. But you've shown me through Lash Building. I got to hang out with you, with these players. It's great. And the point you make also about getting to know the players, and just to share a little story, and we're going to get some videos out from last week. But Ryan Barker, I think, His big moment on the team was not in the 25 season, but in the 24 season at USC. Big comeback by the team. Went into overtime, and Ron Barker hits the game-winning field goal. And then afterwards, there was an on-field interview, and he was asked about the moment, what he was thinking, feeling. And it's like, oh, I was just trying to decide how to celebrate with my buddies after I make the kick. And it came off a certain way, which I loved. I thought it was fantastic. Well, we got to ask him about that and tell the story from his perspective. And he was very funny about it. He just talked in terms of, I was just caught so off guard. It was the last thing I expected was to be interviewed on field after the game, and just said the first thing that came to my mind. And that's what I blurted out. And it was funny because he said, I probably shouldn't have said that. And I quickly corrected him, told him it was the exact right thing to tell. And he also told us a wonderful story, how he got into football, got into kicking. It's a great story. Those are the kind of things that you find out from the players in this kind of environment. They're not guarded, you know, where it's after a game or after a practice where, you know, they're not so quick to open up. Here they are, and it's wonderful. You get a chance to know them, and you made a great point. You're more invested in these players after you meet them.
Yeah, it's because Ryan, like, obviously I know Ryan. I feel good. I've had to do things with Ryan before. I've always found Ryan very impressive. He's gonna be successful in life, no matter what he does, whether it's in the NFL or whatever. He's just an impressive kid. But I just found it really interesting hearing Omarion and his transition and how that looked when he had to make a decision. And the fact that he mentioned Bill O'Brien, OB, yes, helping him with that decision to go to Penn State was fascinating to me. Like that, like, little kind of tidbit, like, that's kind of cool. And when, like, think about 15 years ago, if, like, a similar situation, a player wanted to transfer, and to think that that coach is going to help you with that decision, like, that doesn't happen. That helps you kind of some insight in what this climate of football is right now. But pretty cool. And then Cooper, you know, we didn't mention, you know, we're recruiting his brother. His brother's a linebacker, absolute stud. True Mike linebacker from Oklahoma. But you get Oklahoma, you get North Carolina, South Carolina, and Ryan Barker. It's all really cool.
It was fantastic. All right, Mike, when we come back, we're going to talk some recruiting. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, we spent pretty much most of the first segment talking about our event that we had, HVU Insider, our first event at Pine Grove Hall last Wednesday. We got to talk to the players. For the folks who want to see the next one, that's coming up this Thursday, April 2nd. Absolutely great, great facility, Pine Grove Hall. It's worth the trip just for that. But as a bonus, you get to see some Penn State football players. We haven't named them yet for this week. That will happen soon. I'll put that information out later on when we get that. But it's such a fun night and a chance to hear some inside stories from the players. And Mike, just one last note while we're still talking about some of the players. The things we learned about from, you mentioned Omari Davis, mentioned Bill O'Brien. he was very complimentary of Penn State, apparently, when talking with Omarion. That's great to see. And it's the kind of thing that it humanizes everybody involved in all of this, that there are still coaches still do care about players or looking out for their best interest. We also, we didn't talk enough about Cooper Alexander, who was there. And I think he gets forgotten as the third tight end coming over from Iowa State. And it's a pretty crowded tight end room, a lot of quality there. And what I thought was interesting, when he talked about having some four tight end sets that they were running at Iowa State.
Yeah, well, it's a similar situation that we were in last year. If you remember, we were talking about the same thing this time. Wow, how are we going to get all those tight ends the ball? How are we going to play them all? Well, with Colt Nicky, they, you know, like it or not, he did have a bunch of formations and sets that, you know, it included three, sometimes four tight ends, six linemen, seven linemen. From based off of what I've seen so far, they're going to do a ton of tight end sets, two, three tight end sets in this offense. So I think you're going to see a healthy dose of all three of those guys come this year. So I'm excited to see them. You know, it's good to see Rapp back out there, Coop and everybody. So, yeah, he was interesting. I thought the thing that I got from him, which I thought was really neat, was him talking about how the Iowa State guys in the building were helping the Penn State guys in the building, the returning guys, and then vice versa, right? Because they could help. But, hey, this is kind of like what Coach Clanton likes. This is kind of what Coach Campbell likes. Hey, you're not going to want to do this or that. You'll get really pissed off or something like that. Like, they're able to help the returners. And then the same thing, hey, this is what, you know, happens in the community. Hey, this is where everything's at. I thought it was really cool him mentioning that. And I think when he does that and he mentions that, that's a sign that there's a really good chemistry going on with the team. And it's building right now every day. It's with spring ball. So that's a really good sign. And I thought that was really cool to hear Cooper, a younger Iowa State transfer, say that.
And I can't remember which of the players mentioned this, Al. It's like, okay, yeah, those first couple days, you know, you had to get beyond that. But once they did, it's, you know, just a normal locker room. You know, the tight ends have their group, you know. It didn't matter where you came from. And that it is forming something. And I don't know if this is fair of me to do this, but when I met up with you earlier in the day and we just chose to meet at the Lash building, and I came in, got to the lobby, I was a little bit early, and just multiple people came up to me, said hello, asked, you know, can they help me out? One of them was, hey, can I get you something? You want something to drink? Get your water, get you something. I was like, gee, they didn't know me from Adam. And, you know, I'm ultimately from the media who, you know, don't typically get a friendly welcoming all the time. But it was a nice vibe in the Lash building. Again, that doesn't always translate into wins. But it was kind of a nice thing to see and feel there, Mike.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that have been around the past couple of years, they're still getting used to that vibe. It's a good thing, but it's just different. I thought it was funny. I was coming to meet you, and you're getting waters or something with some two people. I'm like, who the hell is Jim shacked up with now? What is going on? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's just everybody here is great. From, I think that was the nutritionist, right?
Like, well, that was one of them. And
yeah, you ran into one of the player development people that came over with Matt Campbell. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but like phenomenal human being. Like he looks like he can play right now. Looks like he can play like DN, maybe like a five tech, but he is awesome dude. His kids play at the same rec that my kids play, but like just it's a good vibe. It's a good vibe.
It really is. And it was nice to see And again, it all doesn't matter if you don't win games, Mike, but it's nice to see. It's a nice tone, and I think it's something that translates to the players, to recruits coming in, and it's great in that way. So speaking of recruits, see, this is me segueing. This was a busy weekend. How many players, recruits, did you have in this weekend?
I mean, they've been hustling, this staff. And for this week alone, they had well over 100 players. They probably had well over 100 players Saturday at spring practice, which was basically essentially a junior day, which is great opportunity, especially this time. This part of the phase of the Matt Campbell era, this is really important because this is the first time that a lot of these players, the coaches, donors, lettermen, they're coming in and getting to see the staff and how they coach and how they interact with the players. And then these recruits are really looking at that, right? Because there's no proven product on the field with Penn State yet with these guys. So this is what they have to show right now. So it's a really critical time. That's why they're trying to get as many players here in this short window, about a month and a half that we have. But with that also comes challenges, right? Because out of 100 players at Holuba on Saturday, not all of them are going to be dressing up in the Penn State uniform, right? Or they're just they're either maybe a political invite, maybe a coach called in and asked if they could come to practice, but we're really not recruiting one of their players currently. But you have to do that because that's part of the relationship. Even if you're really not recruiting any of their players, they might have a player down the line, right? So that's just where the relationship piece comes in with the high school coaches. And especially right now, you don't want to tell anybody no, right? So you got to juggle that, because if you tell a guy no right off the bat in the whippeal, well, that guy's going to go around all the other coaches and badmouth this staff, even if it wasn't Coach Campbell. Maybe it was just somebody in the front office. So you got to juggle that. That is a daily 24/7 issue that you got to juggle, right? And then you have to worry about the guys that are the dudes that you have there for a reason, and you want to impress them and make sure that they have a good experience. There's so many things and moving parts with the front office, with Derek Hoosier, with all the guys. Basically everybody in the front office is assigned to one of these guys, but you only have so many people in the front office, right? So it's really tough. It's it's really impressive to see him kind of pull it off too. I think Saturday at practice, they also had Letterman, which is really cool. And Letterman, I think we're allowed to bring a guest. There's a couple donors at practice. So just a really busy Saturday for Penn State. But obviously we came out with I don't think it was any surprise to anybody, but Samaje Robinson committing, the first 2027. Really good, really nice. This is about the time you're going to get a couple people on board. I know people were a little worried about not having a commit in the 27 class now, but this is just the beginning. This is just natural for a new coaching staff coming in to get a late start, because they don't have much substance yet, right? At Penn State, right? That's a big difference. You know, they were successful and did a great job at Iowa State, but now they got to reestablish and get these relationships kicked off in the 27 class, which they're doing a good job with. So getting Samaje is great, but they had I dropped my Sweet 16 in the the HVU Insider of the recruits that our staff is really going hard on. It's about 50-50, 27s and 28s. But, you had your 28, Duck Fleming was back. I think you guys saw he's starting to get a lot more hype recently, as a lot of these 28s do, as a lot of the recruiting services now. They'll start going to the 28 classes and hyping them up. I had about 16 guys that I thought were targets for this staff.
Just real quick, just tell the folks where they could get to that information on your site.
So if you go to Happy Valley United, there's a link to Insiders. You'll see the link, takes you to the link. If you haven't signed up, I'll ask you to sign up. All you have to do is put your name in there and email, and then you'll get points to enter points into the sweepstakes if you want to. But and then you'll get more points if you want to register more. But that's all you need to do. There's no cost associated with it. And then you go to the message board and you'll see all kinds of message boards, all kinds of threads. And then you guys, as this thing gets kicked off, the more and more I get excited when somebody like responds, because I want to be able to react and be able to interact with them and give them my opinion, just kind of off the cuff. So that's where you go. And please go on there. Ask me anything.
Well, and Mike always kind of poo-poos this when I say it, though. Mike is a guy with some great information. He's been down this path. He's been in the recruiting world for a long time. I don't mean to age you, but a long time he was doing it. So this is a guy who knows how to recruit, knows how to scout. And in the year plus that he and I have known each other, he's given me some great information. And just to follow up, and we're running out of time here in this segment, but some of what this kind of weekend is about, it's not just getting that player in and we want to bring that player in. It's also talking about, as you said, politically, it's a player from a specific school with a specific coach. And we know some of these names of schools. I noticed a player from St. Joe's Prep in Philadelphia. St. Joe's is a perennial power. You want to make sure you can form a pipeline there. So we're going to talk about that more when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number three of our show. With us is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU, giving us some great insight. What's going on at Penn State? This past weekend was one of those recruiting weekends, about 100 recruits there. Also, you talked about Matt Campbell bringing back some Penn State alumni, which is, it's great to see that connection for guys like me, the older guys, to see some of the names, not just from the last 10 years, but from 20 and 30 years ago.
Yeah. They had an event Friday night at the Letterman's Lounge at Beaver Stadium. And it was just the coaching staff just hanging out with a bunch of those Lettermen. And it was just mingling, just them getting to know each other, and just a really good opportunity and really smart for Matt Campbell and the staff to do stuff like that. So getting around those guys getting to know Matt Campbell and hear him is really important. And from all accounts that I've heard is that event was really good. And the Lettermen really appreciate that. Lettermen are important everywhere. But like, obviously here, it's a little different. The Lettermen mean the world to Penn State. So that's really good to hear. Matt Campbell and the staff's doing everything right.
Well, again, there's some of those names that are just so iconic in Penn State football lore that a connection to them, it's that connection to the past. You're connecting to national championship teams. You're connecting to undefeated teams, those kind of things. And those players are still involved in different places. They provide a networking to all next generation. Sometimes it's a direct next generation, like we saw with LeVar Arrington and his son. Yeah. But sometimes it's just some of these guys in their community. It's they can connect you with other places like high school coaches and players. It's just great networking and smart, like you said, of Matt Campbell.
Yeah. Random, but for the true Penn Staters out there, not true, but ran into Trey Bauer yesterday or the other day. And I've only met once with a guy, Brad Dillman, him and a couple guys own Penn Stakes now downtown. But we reintroduced him, and gosh, just like these guys, these lettermen, getting around them, I could spend days with these guys, especially the older ones like Trey. Like has such a good energy about him and everything. And then just really funny, just talking to him about the good old days. And, you know, he's a linebacker and all that, but yeah, seeing those Lettermen is really cool. But yeah, so you had to deal with that at practice, right? And handling that, making sure they're getting a good experience. And then, you know, you have all of the other dignitaries. You have, you know, the big time donors there that you got to make sure that they feel good. And then you have your recruits, but the recruits, they're different recruits. There's the guys, and then there's the others. And then, but both need to feel essentially the same, right? It's all about the customer service with that, but that's a big juggle. But Derek Hoosier and his staff and the front office, they do a phenomenal job.
And they're adjusting, and this could lead into a little bit of a conversation of Terry Smith, you know, the holdover from the old regime. And a Pennsylvania guy, Whippy old guy, you mentioned, you know, the Western Pennsylvania football that he knows so well. But throughout the state, Terry is known. Terry could point the rest of the staff in the right direction. He could introduce them to coaches, all those important things. And I had mentioned earlier at the end of the last segment, schools like St. Joe's Prep as an example of schools that you need to make a connection there. And that connection sometimes needs to be made before you get the players. So it might be, and it may make it sound like I'm picking on St. Joe's, because I know there was a four-star player, Brandon Lockley, was there. He was not like a token St. Joe's Prep guy. But yeah. Those are the things, those are the connections that you need to make to create a pipeline. Another example of it, I saw St. Francis in Baltimore. There were actually multiple players from there. That's how you start to create pipelines to these big time high schools.
Yeah, I think it was important for Matt Campbell and Derek Hoosier. They wanted to make sure that they had people on the staff and in the front office that had those connections to help bridge the gap. Nas Oliver, kind of a sneaky hire last year during the season, former head coach in New Jersey. I think he took a team that went from like historically losing, maybe like only won one game the previous season, and then they won the state championship. Really smart guy, really, but New Jersey. When I say that like as a compliment, like he's all New Jersey, right? And I was talking to him the other day about it. I was like, man, you're doing some work, man, because there was a ton of New Jersey guys here this past week, and especially Saturday, there was a bunch of guys from Shabazz, a guy from Glassboro. You said DC. You had guys from Gonzaga, Stonebridge. Gonzaga is a perennial powerhouse. Yeah, guys from DeMatha, perennial powerhouse that we've always done well in. But what else you're seeing too, what I'm seeing, is that they still have connections across the entire country. So you have guys from Kansas coming in here, guys coming from Oklahoma, you know. And then what I've always liked is when we push recruits in Ohio. You know, it's right there. And this staff is definitely doing that. So we had a big-time receiver here from Taft out of Cincinnati, Ohio, here. There was a couple guys from Warren, my stomping grounds. And you know what else these guys are juggling, too, that a lot of people probably don't see, is that you have a lot of these, like, trainers and coaches and recruiting service guys and, like, friends of the program that are coming in and hanging out for the day. You know, it could be any day of the week, but they're juggling that too, right? All of their friends and the relationships and the coaches that want to come in, sit in on some meetings, talk ball, sit in with Hoosier or Trent or Jack and talk ball and recruiting. You got all of that going on too, which adds to it. But yeah, back to the recruitment, just I think the staff is doing a really good job. I think what's going to really get them over the hump is that they come off as really genuine, these guys. And like they there's no agenda to who they're recruiting. They're recruiting the guys because they truly believe that these guys can come in and help us. It's not just because, like I said, Coach Campbell doesn't know if he's a five-star or four-star. I know that's hard to believe, but there's nothing on the sheet of paper or anything given to him about recruits that if they're like a perennial five-star or something like that. Not that that's a good or bad thing. I think that just that speaks to more of them trusting their evaluation, and they don't want anything to jade that, right? Because sometimes that can happen when you go off of recruiting services. But that's what I've been seeing so far. But I think New Jersey, that region that you're very familiar with, there won't be anybody that we miss on in those areas. I think getting kids here from California, from Kansas and regions like that, I think is pretty neat.
Well, when you talk about the star system and that they ignore the star system, it's not that, hey, the five-star guys, someone told me this long ago, and it's true. Everybody knows who the five-star guys are. They don't need to be labeled five-star for you to know it. You see them play. You see them at camps. You see them anywhere. They stick out. You know who they are.
Yeah.
But it's like, do you have the ability to evaluate? You can't have 85 five-stars because they don't exist. There aren't that many. But can you scout the rest of the players? And oftentimes, to understand how the scouting system works, a four-star guy might be a guy who just gets to more of the camps and more exposure than the three-star guys. And that's the difference. And so to be able to evaluate on your own and be able to independently evaluate players who the services might call a three-star, we've seen too many three-stars who turned into superstars.
Yeah, or vice versa, right? Some four or five yes. stars don't end up panning out. But regardless of that, I think the other thing that's fun to talk about is, okay, a four or five-star, say, if you want to go down that path, those guys are going to demand more money, especially if they go from a four to five-star. I'm assuming that an agent and that kid is going to say, well, I'm a five-star. I deserve X amount of money. Okay, well, is that program going to be able to budget that and sit on that dead money? I've talked about it ad nauseum with you a couple times. I think I talk about it every time I'm on the show. Are we comfortable with sitting on six, seven figures of dead money for 2 years on a top prospect in a class? That's where every program in the country is balancing it out. Because say if that dead money, hypothetically, Mike Villagrana is a four-star and I'm demanding $1 million, right? Okay. But I'm a skinny, underdeveloped D end that's going to take some time to get on the field. But I'm hella talented and high ceiling. Okay. Do we pay him that $1 million? Or do we split that $1 million and maybe get two or three portal players out of that has experience at a lower level, right? Like that, where are you going to get your return from a business? Think of it as a business. Like what makes sense to me, getting that five star that's going to demand getting me, that's going to take 2 years to develop and get a return on, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about this as we're in the last minute of this segment, Mike. We'll hit on it when we come back. But you and I were having a conversation with someone on Wednesday when I was there meeting with you, and he brought up the conversation of there are teams at the highest level who are investing a lot of money into the very top players. Well, guess what? There's not enough money then for the next level of player. So the school who doesn't have a chance at the five stars, they're investing at that next level one step down. So it's a very tough job now for a GM to figure out where are you going to invest those dollars. And there is a limit. Everybody has a limit to how many dollars they have. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. This is quarter number four of our show. And Mike, as we were closing out quarter number three, we're starting to hit on something that I think is really important in building a team is, yeah, there's no doubt. There are teams, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, teams that have a lot of money. Indiana, by the way, now has a pretty lot of money. Their donors are starting to give. Ohio State, Michigan. But it's not an unlimited budget, okay? So if you're spending money at the high end, you can't fill out your entire roster with all these four and five-star players and also recruit at that very tight top end, because as you've pointed out here multiple times on this show, I could give a high school kid a lot of money to come in, start to develop him. He's not going to hit the field to year two or three. Well, by that point, he might be getting higher offers elsewhere. This is a real, real tough balancing act, especially for general managers of programs.
Yeah. So I think there was a great article. I forget who wrote it. It might have been Sports Illustrated or somebody, about Mark Pantone. I know I'm not like great friends with him, but I've talked to him. And Mark Pantone is the GM with Ohio State. He's kind of like he's just a very well known guy in the industry. He's been doing it all the way back to Florida and with the Urban Meyer days, and he's just a very well respected person in the space. And he came out. There was an article talking about how he's had to restructure their philosophy essentially and their front office, because if you look at all the people that left their program this year, which is it's abnormal to have that many people leave and that kind of caliber players leave. It's because it was a lot of players, high end players coming out of the high school ranks that didn't hit the field right away because they're good, but they're entering a room of other four or five stars that have had multiple years in the weight room and growth and maturity. Right. So they sit. So there's an ego to that, you know, these high end guys, they have a ton of people around them. Right. And they're going to have a lot of people chirping in the ear. So what you saw was a mass exodus of all those top end guys that didn't play right away at Ohio State. And I'm not like picking on Ohio State. That's happening all around. Look at us. We paid Olish, you know, pretty good money. Yes. He's number one player in the state, but he's going into a stacked room as a freshman. No, he's not going to play in front of Luke Reynolds and Rapp and Dinkins and those guys, right? Like,
of course,
but he ended up leaving, right? So that's going on across the country. So I think what you're going to see is some type of retention plan that's implemented in college football, because that's the biggest pain in the butt, right? Portals, it's not stressful. As long as you have a plan and you're prepared, it's not that bad. Like, we have Jack Griffith, who's like the portal guru, right? He has a plan. We're going to be set when the portal opens up again this year, right? But the player retention, that's tough. The Olishes of the world, right? All those high-end guys that come in as freshmen, you know? But so it's hard retaining them, but hell, do you want to retain them? Do you want to be in that position in the first place? Because they just went through your program for a year and you had to pay them seven figures or six figures or whatever it is. Does that make sense from a business standpoint?
Well, that's the interesting thing, is it becomes a business calculation. Now, we see in the NFL, say, the de-emphasis of the running back position over the last several years. Are we going to see that in the college game also, where you start to look at, hey, there's a great supply of running backs. It's a star position, but if there's all these really good running backs, and there often are, because that's often where in high school where the best athletes are.
Yeah.
So, you know what? It may not be worth going after the number one guy if there's not a lot of difference between number one and number 20. But another position, like defensive tackle, there aren't very many of those. So if you could talk about, I'm talking about that as if I'm the expert on all of that. You are, though. Is that not what we're going to see?
No, I think you're right on with it. Like, it's not the, like, the number one versus number two or versus the 20. Think about the position and the stage of these young athletes. They're still 18, 19 years old. They're still developing, right? So offensive lineman, he's going to develop a lot different than a running back, right? Keymon Spell, the running back, we know that kid could come in and probably contribute right away, right? Because that's just the position, right? But now you have, say, a long 250-pound tackle, right? But he has the frame. Like the kid that visited this past week from Central Catholic, I think he's playing center or whatever. I saw him. You look at him, he looks like a power forward, you know? But you know he's going to be huge, huge. But you're going to have to spend more time. You're not going to get – he's not going to hit the field for 2 years, at least 2.5 years. That's just the nature of that, the development. So it's a whole juggle, right? All right, positionally, then scheme two, right? Like it all plays a factor. But I think to really help out with college football, it would be putting some guardrails, not college football, just in college sports, is putting some guardrails or some kind of implementation of like a 2 year, just like a rookie deal. You know, you have 2-3 year, you have to stay 2.5 years, something like that. So you don't have to worry about retention of those guys every year because they're still developing. After 2.5 years, that's when we're looking at rosters anyways and saying, all right, we're probably going to cut bait with him and him because they're not developing or they just not ended up being a fit or whatever reason. Right. But in that 2.5 years at the beginning, you're doing all you can with all the resources you have to develop that kid so that you do want to retain them. So that, to me, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's why you're seeing a push from a lot of ADs and dignitaries out there in college football for something like that.
Well, I've always been an advocate for the multi-year contract. And what that does is it protects the player, because if he's disappointing, but he's still guaranteed 2 or 3 years of salary. If he excels, and if he excels beyond the contract, just make it like coaches. There's a buyout, you know. And I was advocating the quarterback who went from Cincinnati to Texas Tech allegedly had $1 million buyout. That seemed like the perfect thing. Works out for everybody. Except now his side, they're refusing to pay the buyout, and it's going to court. So so many things do. I'll tell you what, Mike, in the last couple minutes we have left, just want to get into like a couple of the names, starting with Samaje Robinson, the actual first commit for this class of 27. He's a cornerback from Florida. What can you tell us about him? Give us a quick scouting report.
As I call these guys, they're avatar-ish type of players. I posted about a kid that visited the other day, and he's a long corner like this. He was 6'5", 6'4"-ish.
Wow.
Just long. And I call those avatars. And that's what Samaje is. And you talk about, like, our roots and our connections. This kid's from Florida, right? So – it's kind of cool that Like we don't have to be so centralized in a 3-hour radius. The staff is, if they see a player that they like in the process, then they're going to go after and get him. And Samaje is one of these, you know, 6'2", 6'3". He's going to be in the 180, 190 range. I probably player comp physically probably to Zion Tracy. When you look at Zion, he looks like an avatar out there. You know, that's what his room is turned into. And I say his room, Terry, is who I'm talking about. He's going to come in, and it's going to be interesting to see how when he comes in, how he fits in. But I think he's going to have all the tools to contribute early, like we were just talking about. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to have to wait to get a return on. These guys, you're going to want to get a return on relatively quickly on them. If it's not just a couple situations, just like Darius Dixon had this year, you know, he would come in and in spots and did really well. Or is it on special teams? You know, he could come in right away and probably contribute and then find himself in the two deep going into his sophomore or second year in the program. That's what I kind of see. That's kind of what I forecast with this type of player. Good kid, fit, everything fits Matt Campbell and Derek Hoosier in the front office of what they're looking for.
Well, it was interesting. You talked about he's long. He's like 6'2". I don't know if it was himself or somebody else comparing his game to Joey Porter.
Yeah. If it's anything like that, a ball hawk, somebody is able to find the ball in the air and make a play. Yeah, he's going to have a good career, probably a short career here.
he'll be moving on.
Yeah, but you know what I like about the tall corners and these guys that are thicker and athletic? One, if they have the speed and the burst and the makeup speed to cover, great. But if they don't work out, hopefully they're able to move to the safety position, whether it's the field or the strong. But that doesn't always work, but that's just naturally you think that, especially if it's a crowded room and say Samaje comes in, but he's behind, he's third deep because we're really talented. Well, maybe we're not as deep at the safety position. Maybe he could fit better there. But with that, also, is he physical enough? Does he have to play safety? You're really kind of you're the quarterback back there, so you have to have a lot of smarts and IQ. But I think he has the position flex. I think this kid is a great start to the 27 class. And when you look at the stars, I think he's a 3-star, right? Like in most recruiting service, I bet you the recruiting services will end up bumping this guy when it's all said and done. So fans, yeah. I know the fans that are big on that, they'll be happy when that happens.
Well, I think I did see one service had him 4 stars, others had 3. And it's interesting you say about the versatility. And going back to our conversations last week, Omarion Davis, the safety transfer from BC, who we talked about, I asked him, give me the scouting report on yourself. And the first thing he pointed out was, can play safety, but I also could play cornerback. I could also get into the box and tackle people.
Of course.
That versatility is part of it.
Yeah, they're all good. because that makes them more versatile.
But no, of course, and valuable.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to have to be the last word. Thank you, Mike. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.